Chapter 16. Kristoff. We wandered back through the village in happy silence. Most of the residents were going to bed, and lights began to turn off one by one. Once we reached the inn, we saw Onyx, Rosmarin, and Michaela sitting and talking outside at one of the tables.
"Where did you two run off to?"
Onyx asked. Rosmarin noticed our clasped hands and gave us a knowing smile. Onyx noticed, too.
"Oh,"
was all she said. We all laughed, and Rachel and I took a seat by our friends. Sahara had decided to stay with Erwin so she could tend to her and the other injured people throughout the night. So, Rachel, Onyx, Rosmarin, and I spent a relaxing night talking and laughing with our new friend, Michaela. At some point, after noticing more lights go out in the village, we all decided we'd best get some sleep, so we could hopefully set off early the following morning. So we said our goodnights and entered the inn. I followed Rosmarin into our designated room. Onyx had helped us carry some of our belongings in from the carriage, and I rustled through my bag looking for some night clothes. Rosmarin had already slipped into a light gown, and I could feel her staring at me. So I turned around.
"So, how was Rachel?"
she coaxed, giving me a wink and then bursting into laughter. I tackled her onto the bed. "Oh, wouldn't you like to know?" We laughed and wrestled until finally we fell asleep in each other's arms. The next morning we woke up to Onyx bursting into the room.
"She's awake. Eri's awake."
We looked at each other, and then jumped out of bed and changed clothes before running out of the inn. We sprinted all the way to the healer's house and ran in to see Erwin sitting up on our bed.
"You're awake,"
I exclaimed as I rushed over to my friend and hugged her.
"How are you feeling?"
Rosmarin asked as she gave the fairy a hug. Erwin beamed at all of us, her best friends.
"Much better now."
Sahara came out of another room and handed Erwin some concoction.
"She still has a lot of mending to do, but we must get her to Katala first."
"Is she okay to travel?"
wondered Onyx.
"She'll be fine, but she should probably ride in the carriage,"
instructed Sahara. I helped Onyx pack our things in the carriage, leaving enough space for Erwin. Sahara laid down some blankets and pillows, and after eating a hearty breakfast and saying our goodbyes to Bowen and some of the villagers that had come to see us off, we carefully loaded Erwin inside the carriage attached to Onyx's horse. We secured Eri's horse to the back of the carriage and packed some extra provisions on it that Bowen had gifted us. I thanked the man again, and then turned to Michaela.
"You're welcome to come with us, you know."
"Maybe I'll come for a visit, but first I have some matters to attend to in the forest."
She waved and turned away. I shrugged as I watched the fawn go. We rode out of the village, and I thought about how only the previous night we had arrived to hordes of zombies seeking to overrun it. I figured some of my supernatural friends were glad to be leaving, but as a human, I felt a connection to the people of Treble Village, and I hoped some of them would take my words to heart and move to Constanta, especially if the hordes were getting stronger. Maybe they wouldn't have to, though. If we figured out where all the zombies and lichlings were coming from, but we still had to make it to Nahuatl in one piece. With the help of Erwin and her maps, we discovered the path that would hopefully lead us all the way to the gates of the Southern Kingdom. We still had a ways to go, and we did our best to travel at a decent pace, even with our injured friend. Rachel and I rode out in front, scouting ahead for any zombies. Onyx followed with Eri safely in the carriage, and Sahara and Rosmarin kept watch in the back of our caravan. The first half of our journey had been uneventful, until our encounter with the wood nymphs. But being this far south, we fought several skirmishes with small bands of wandering zombies. Whenever we spotted a group, Rachel or I would inform the other, and with a nod, one of us would ride off and kill the creatures. Sometimes I used my dagger, and sometimes I practiced with my power and shot beams of gleaming light into the rotting bodies and skeletons. The groups remained small, and we also encountered groups of lichlings, which we let Sahar take care of. A couple of times we spotted larger groups off in the distance, roaming aimlessly. We stayed clear of them, but kept an eye out. Some of the undead might notice us and follow after us, even slowly. We made a few stops for food and to make camp. Each night, a couple of us would rotate while keeping watch. Most nights were fairly quiet, and we only saw a few zombies. But the fourth night, from Treble Village, one of the larger hordes finally managed to catch up with us. I had been keeping watch and noticed the dark mass on the horizon. I kept still and hoped the group would wander off in another direction. But the black cloud of monsters slowly moved closer to my sleeping friends and me. I stood up slowly, watching them come forward, and I gauged how many there were. Fortunately, I only saw zombies slowly bumbling toward us, but they would still prove to be a problem for just me to deal with. I snuck over to Onyx and shook the sleeping gargoyle. Her yellow eyes popped open, fully alert. She startled me, but I whispered to her, "Zombies are on the horizon." The Doombringer sat up and reached for her sword lying next to her. She unsheathed it, and the blade glistened in the moonlight, as eager as Onyx was to taste blood. I pointed to the horde, still a good distance away, and she nodded and began saddling her horse. "Should I wake the others?" I asked Onyx. She shook her head.
"Let them sleep, but do me a favor."
"What would that be?" I questioned her.
"I will direct the horde to the west, and I want you to flank them from behind and use whatever powers you can."
Her instructions were direct and left me little room to protest.
"Take your time. Let me worry about the zombies. You get some practice in."
Onyx mounted her horse and rode off toward the monsters. I saddled my own horse and then took off after her. As I rode toward the shadowed figures, I cursed Onyx and feared what might happen if I wasn't able to control my powers. She had drawn their attention towards her, away from the camp and me, and I followed behind. The group was smaller than I thought, but still more than I wanted to deal with, especially with my powers. I thought back to Sahar's lab when I had set the dummy on fire, and I tried to recreate that moment in my head. I closed my eyes, trusting my horse to carry me in the right direction, and tried entering a meditative state like in the Carwyn Forest. The world around me faded away, and the moans of the zombies and thuds of my horse's hooves disappeared. I summoned the energy in me, careful not to pull too much power from my core. I inhaled and let the light travel to my fingertips, and then as I opened my eyes, I pointed my hand toward the zombie nearest to me and released the energy. The beam lit up the night as it blasted from my fingers and into the zombie that promptly went up in flames. Some of the zombies nearest to the one engulfed in fire turned and noticed me. They growled as they redirected their course. I refocused myself and sent another blast from my hand into an advancing monster, and that one erupted in flames too. I tried shooting another ray, but I suddenly noticed how exhausted I was. In the moonlight, more figures moved towards me, but the corners of my vision blurred, and then all I saw was darkness as if the moon was snuffed out. My world turned sideways as I heard someone screaming my name. I must have fallen from my horse because I awoke to Rosmarin's face over mine.
"Oh, thank the gods you're all right."
She sobbed and squeezed me tight. She helped me up on my horse and instructed me to return to camp. As my horse carried me away, I dizzily glanced back toward the horde and saw Rosmarin, Onyx, and Rachel gracefully killing off the zombies. They dispatched them so fast they returned to camp the same time I did, and the three of them helped me down from my horse.
"You did well, Kristoff,"
Onyx said as she helped me down onto my makeshift bed. "I think I almost got myself killed again," I whispered, and then my eyes closed and I fell asleep. I woke up the next morning feeling much better. I'm sure I had slept hard after depleting my energy the previous night, and luckily my body had recharged. Sweat drenched me from the process, so I stripped off my clothes and put on new ones. I elicited some whistles from the council.
"Glad to see you better."
Rachel winked at me.
How are you feeling?
Rosmarin asked after giving Rachel a grin. I stretched my arms up and then hugged Roz. I feel much better. How's Erwin? Onyx had already helped her into the carriage, and I heard her soft voice call out,
I'm doing fine, Kristoff.
We set off after having a quick bite. The day continued on uneventfully, except for the few roaming zombies picked off. The land had changed from lush fields of grasslands with trees dotted around to dry and brown lands with only small shrubbery. Definitely not enough to protect us from the sun that grew hotter the further south we traveled. It's beautiful out here, I commented to Rachel.
Yeah, if you like the desert,
she shot back. The days grew hot and humid, and soon we were in a dry basin. Two mountain ranges rose up on either side of us in the distance, and I thought of the Constantin Mountains where we had encountered the Blood Drake. I wondered what sorts of beasts called these mountains home.
Last time I was here, this whole valley was full of zombies and lichlings. That must have been the horde that attacked Treble Village.
Erwin mused. Everything here was hotter, and the air and ground dried up. Even my mouth was dry, and I constantly needed my water. Palm trees, which I had never seen before, dotted the land. As hot as the days were, the nights grew cold. As soon as the sun sank behind the purple mountains, we pulled out our warmer clothes. Sahar conjured up blankets for us when we camped, and we spent the night snuggled together for warmth. As we continued south, we noticed larger groups of zombies and lichlings. Even the skeptical Rachel admitted something must be happening in these lands as we evaded hordes, hiding behind hills and rock outcroppings or trees, or directing the party in roundabout ways to avoid the hordes. After several days of trudging through the desert and dry grasslands, we started seeing more greenery, which lifted our spirits. Although the dryness dissipated, the humidity increased tenfold until we were all drenched in sweat under our light armor every day. More trees lived in this landscape, so we spent as much time as possible underneath the shade of the green foliage. We had traveled late into the night and planned to stop when Erwin called out from the carriage. She had her map held up close to her face and tried to read it in the moonlight.
We're close to the walls. We should keep going.
Half of me wanted to stop and finish the journey in the morning, but even in the cool night air, I remembered just how hot the days had gotten, and reaching the walls meant spending the night, and hopefully the following day, inside. We continued on, glad for the moonlight. Even at night, the lands looked stunning. It was so different from home, or from anywhere I had ever been before. I rode on in a trance-like state, tired from our long journey and transfixed by the strange land and the pale light of the moon. I must have dozed off a few times because Rachel smacked me twice and startled me out of my reveries. We traveled for another few hours, and I started to doubt Erwin. And then I saw it. At first, I wondered if we were coming up on another forest because it reminded me of the silhouette that I had seen of the Carwyn Forest, but I couldn't mistake the giant structure that loomed ahead. It stretched off in either direction like a formidable beacon of hope. It was the southern wall. We had made it to Nahuatl.